following has been pre-recorded for your listening and dancing pleasure.
This Doug and Danny podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
This is Central Nebraska's most listened to all sports radio station.
We always parade winners around here.
From 1460 KXPN and 1550 KICS, you're listening to Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
For any of you who have listened in the past, you know that I am not a radio-trained personality, so we are just going by the seat of our pants.
It's time for the Tri-Cities' number one sports show. You're listening to the Doug and Daddy Show.
Victoria and Zaretska, you know, though, these Russians, they need to buy a vowel. Let me just say that. They need to buy a vowel with that first name.
Now coming to you live from the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. Need a vehicle? Think Midway.com.
No. I don't think that's just it's minor. It's just a minor sin. It's a minor one. Well, I'm coming to you then for some of the major ones.
It's time for the Doug and Daddy Show.
Welcome to the Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Doug Duda, Jim Langan with you on this Monday. Glad to have you along with us. Michael Schotte is going to join us from the Bleacher Report to talk NFL drafts, see what he thinks of the Huskers, and just who's got to make a move this year and what will happen with a few of the picks in his estimation. Coming up in a couple of minutes, Tammy Anderson, Kearney soccer coach. Districts begin today, and we'll talk with Coach Anderson. The Bearcats are hosting at Baldwin Park, and we'll break down their season so far and their matchup today, which will be at 5 o'clock when they take on Lincoln High. Also, we'll get to baseball and softball. There's changes in the United States Hockey League. Indiana isn't even going to play. Basically, bye-bye. You can't get rid of all your players and not be in the draft and then expect that you're going to play next year. So we'll talk about that as well. Morning, Jimmy.
Hey, how you doing?
Doing okay. Everything good?
Everything's good. Real good. They're having a big day.
You are? Really?
Yeah.
Is this something that I want to know a lot about?
No, I really, to be honest with you, it's just any other Monday.
It's just a typical Monday, huh?
Where are you?
But you're putting some sunshine out on the Monday.
Yes,
you know,
I'm
definitely. It's a good one.
Yeah, I'm gonna mow the other half of my yard. When I was younger, I mowed my yard in one day, and now I do it in sequences.
Oh.
You know, you just get a half and then do the other half some other time.
Do you have pattering?
No.
No?
No.
You don't do it like a baseball field or, you know, where they, you know, color it here and then the next day?
When I was a kid, I used to make greens out in there, you know, like a nine-hole golf course and stuff like that. When I mowed it, my dad would come out and just be really upset with me. Like, what are you doing? You know, I thought, hey, if I'm mowing it, I get to kind of mow it the way I want to. But I found out later that's not the way it works.
Well, see, so we can put that on your resume as well, because I know there's a lot of golf courses that are always looking for help.
Yeah, let's don't put that on my resume.
Not so much. Okay. All right. We'll talk about the Kentucky Derby as well. Here's the deal, Jimmy. I am jealous and happy all at the same time. Our professional selectors last week gave us the right horses. I just didn't put them together. But listeners of the show, because they listened to the Doug and Daddy Show, had the 17 long shot horse in their exactas, in their trifectas. And proud to say that because of the Doug and Daddy Show, there are some folks that have a little more money in the coffer today.
Yeah, you know, what was kind of...
Not me, though.
Hey, what was kind of interesting is you're getting... with this show, you're getting some professional opinions of some people that have been following this and kind of understand. You know, what was kind of interesting to me, I was watching all week long, and it kind of hurt me because the speed was somewhat holding, Doug, you know, at Churchill Downs for 3 days. And in this race, the speed did not hold at all, and which hurt me on the sixth horse because that horse turning for home was in second place with California Chrome. I've got something nailed pretty good with the 5-6-6-5 exacta, you know, that I've got. And all of a sudden, he just couldn't hang on because he was second, you know, and California Chrome was first, you know, going in with when you're looking down and you're going, there it is, 5-6-6-5, just what I needed. And then all of a sudden, here comes some things from 18th to second, 17th to third, you know, so here comes the closers. And they weren't really doing that all week.
Well, we'll break that down a little bit more later on in the show, but right now, taking a break from her daily routine to chat with us on the Doug and Daddy Show is Coach Tammy Anderson. The Kearney Lady Bearcats are 13-3 on the season, and they have put together a nice five-game winning streak, heading in to districts. Coach, good morning.
Good morning. I was just going to say, Jimmy, the reason you have kids is so that they will mow your yard. So, and I know you still have one in school, so, you know, you're not doing something right here in the dad column. So,
you know, I'll tell you what, and the only thing I can think about in the dad column is I watched TV one time, and some kid was mowing the yard, and he hit a bunch of rocks and started breaking windows and stuff like that, and I thought, hold it. I think, you know, I know my child pretty well, and he's pretty good in math, but I don't know how good he would be with mowing the yard right now, because if there's a rock in the way, he's not going to take the time to move it.
Mine always managed to do a really crummy job, and now as we look back, because they're grown up and now they have their own kids who are going to be doing the same thing, they did it on purpose because then mom wouldn't let them mow anymore. So kids aren't quite as lacking in intelligence, I think, at times as we assume they are. So
I agree.
Anyway, yeah, soccer's been good to us, Doug.
Well, yeah, let's chat about the districts that are coming up today, and we'll do that. But let's talk about how you got to this point here. You've got a ball club that when you win games, you're going to score goals, and your goalkeeping's been pretty good. It looks like your defense, though, maybe has been especially outstanding for you this year.
You know, well, when we started the season, we knew we were going to be really solid because of the kids that we had coming back. And, I mean, we're still young, but it's an experienced young group. But we did lose our starting keeper to graduation last year, so that was probably the one spot we were obviously the most concerned about. And Annie Kenneman has come in and just done a great job back there. And, you know, she's come up with some big saves in some games that have allowed us to maintain, you know, a one-goal lead. So we're pretty confident with her back there. She has gotten better as the year's gone on. And then she has four really good defenders in front of her, and that always helps a defender when they don't have to come up with save after save after save. They just know that they aren't, you know, there's just a couple big moments in a game that they're probably going to have to come up big. And so far, in all but three games, we've been able to do that.
And, you know, the more I see and the little that I have seen, but getting to see Kelsey play from time to time in all sports, she may be one of the most underrated female athletes in the state for everything that she's doing, and she leads you in goal scoring, and she's still just a junior.
Yeah, you know, she's elevated her game in both sports, because, you know, I've watched her in basketball, and it was just another level in basketball this year. And then I was, you know, hopeful it would happen in soccer, and it has. And she was our leading scorer last year with 9 goals. And this year she's doubled that with 18. And she's doing that from the midfield position, which if you're a soccer person, you understand. But that's kind of difficult because you're not really the go-to person. It would be kind of like having your point guard lead you in scoring, which can happen, or having a shortstop maybe, you know, lead the team in batting average. It's not typical, but it can happen if it's a special athlete. And that's what, you know, and she's a special athlete. And not only can she put it in the back of the net, she distributes very well, and that's why she's in the midfield, so that, you know, we can win the midfield and get the ball up to the goal scorers.
Hey, Jim Langen here. I noticed a lot of your scores, you know, you've held the team scoreless or just to one goal. And I mean, one of those was a shootout where somebody got 2 goals on you. Is your goalkeeper that good? Is it the defense before they get there? Talk a little bit about that.
It actually starts from the very top. If we lose possession, our strikers are checking back and trying to keep the ball from, you know, having them have a counter and transition. Midfield's real solid. You know, I think you really have to look at the middle of the field, at where a soccer game is won. And if you possess the midfield, you know, for the majority of the minutes or the percentage of time, you're probably going to win the game. And so, you know, if you, it kind of takes the heat off of the defense. But I will say I have got a very solid group of 4 back there. We have 2 central defenders who are probably as good as we've had here in a long time. And then my 2 outside defenders are doing their job. So I don't know that it's you know, Annie is steady, but it's the kids in front of her. Annie is not having to make a lot of saves this year. I think she's made 45 saves. That's not a lot. That's not a lot of shots on goal at a keeper. So it's the kids in front of her that are you know, keeping people from making runs that are and unmarked, you know. So it's kind of, the defense is a team effort, but I will say that we've got an awfully good group of four back there.
We're talking with Tammy Anderson, girls soccer coach, Kearney High. They will host Lincoln High today at 5 o'clock. Omaha Burke and North Platte will follow that up. Then the winners will play on Wednesday at 6 o'clock at Baldwin Park. Coach, you've played Burke and North Platte and beat them both, but you actually haven't played Lincoln High. Just kind of talk about the district.
We've not played Lincoln High in several years. They're off our schedule, and so they're kind of the unknown for us. Unfortunately, they're not having a real banner year as far as wins. They're not scoring a lot, and they're giving a lot of goals up. So that might be one of those first-round games that's nice for us to just kind of get back on the pitch. We haven't played since last Tuesday, so, you know, we'll get hopefully the starters can get back into the groove and we can save some legs. But, you know, I did tell the kids that, you know, if you're playing an opponent who's not quite as skilled as you are, the last thing you want to do is you know, play sloppy and maybe play down, because you want to hit your peak on Wednesday. So we want to be really sharp and do things that we need to do on, hopefully if we get through tonight's game, that we'll need to do to be either North Platte or Omaha Burke.
Big picture, if I look at the state ratings, you've been right around that 10 spot all year long, which wouldn't match your seeding in the wild card points. So how do you feel about your chances of making it to Omaha and beyond?
You know, I like our chances. I like the draw. At first, when I saw North Platte, I thought, well, what else, you know, would we expect except to have to play North Platte again? You know, that's a rival game. And I know it's a cliche, throw the records out. You throw them out in this game. You know, these kids know each other. They played against each other since they were little. They actually play together in the summers on Nebraska Select. So, you know, the edge goes to us simply because we beat them. We beat them on senior night. But they've got a little bit, you know, probably of revenge. So it's going to be an epic battle if it's North Platte and Kearney. And if it's Burke and Kearney, you know, we haven't played them since the first game of the season. So, and they play, I tell you what, those Metro teams, you can't really look at their record and having not played them really think that their record is indicative of their talent, because there's so much talent there. Even the teams with 500 records have a lot of skill, and they're very well coached and they're very technical. So, you know, you just have to really respect what they're going to bring to the field when you play them.
And Tammy, I guess we'll let you out of here with this. We talked about the 5-game winning streak after back-to-back losses when you went down to Lincoln and played two state-rated teams in Elkhorn and Southwest. I guess it's the obvious question: was there something that you fixed, or was that just an off day?
No, you know, we've had a couple of bumps in the road here this year that really have not knocked us off course. Just kind of went in for a realignment. That Saturday was we had come off of the weekend before playing in the conference tournament. We went in there missing three starters and coming out of that tournament having and winning it. The kids were really on a high, and I feared just a little bit of a letdown. But those teams were so good defensively, and we actually had Elkhorn beaten, and we gave up a goal off a corner kick with about 10 minutes to go, and then in the loss in a shootout. So it was nothing that we did that, other than talk about the fact that we couldn't let it affect us, you know, and we had a stretch of games coming up that, and I was very honest, say it's do or die. If you don't win these games, North Platte, Columbus, Lincoln East, you don't host a district. And so, you know, the kids responded and took each game as it came and took care of business, and we get to play on our home field today. We get to have business as usual, go to class, you know, do whatever we normally do before a 5 o'clock game. And this is, you know, one and done or two in a barbecue. So you kind of want to make sure that you, you don't meet one of those scenarios this time of year.
Well, it should be a great day to play some soccer up at Baldwin. And Tammy, we always appreciate chatting with you, and we wish you guys the best of luck this week. Thanks for the time.
Yeah, thanks. And it's probably a great day for you guys to be on the rink. So I've been expecting you to go be maybe swinging the sticks later today or something, take advantage of this nice weather.
They frown upon that at the soccer field, you know. I might be
pitching
down there in the goal.
Yeah, maybe you could do that before you come to the soccer field. So
I got a long story on that one too, Tam. We'll get to it later, though.
Okay.
Thanks
a lot.
See ya. After the last time I played golf, I may need to take another winter off. But today, 5 o'clock. For the Kearney High girls taking on Lincoln High. And this is the way we have it now. It's different than maybe a C, B, C, D basketball things. I mean, in A now, the best teams are supposed to host, and then you are supposed to draw a weaker team in the first round. And that's not just here. That's at all seven districts that get underway today. So you don't expect to see a lot of upsets, not near as many as you would in some of the lower class, because it's supposed to be spread out a little bit.
Yeah, I agree. And, Doug, you know, when they played, most of them played at least 15 games this year. You know what I mean? So over a 15-game period, you're going to be able to kind of tell. And, you know, in soccer, it's kind of like, I mean, you beat somebody 2-0, sometimes you beat them pretty handily.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like a 50-48 basketball game. Yeah,
it doesn't have to be 6-0 to blow a team out.
Yeah,
it was 2-0. They had 4 shots on goal.
Right, yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
So that's what's going on there. Also, the Kearney boys—they're the only one from the area that doesn't start until tomorrow. They'll go up to South Sioux City and then they'll bang that out in a couple of days. And hopefully, the Bearcat boys have some success when they play Papillion-La Vista tomorrow at South Sioux at 5. Then South Sioux plays Omaha Benson. Here's the rest schedule for today. Boys A6 District, Grand Island Senior High hosting. They'll play Lincoln High as well. That's at 5. North Platte will play Papillion-La Vista South at 7. The B7 at Hastings College, this is the opening game. Kearney Catholic, Grand Island Central Catholic at 7. And then out at Scottsbluff will host Lexington, followed by Holdridge and Garing. In other girls action, the Grand Island girls will play at Lincoln Southeast this afternoon. That's a 1 o'clock at Seacrest Field, because they're playing a lot of games there at Seacrest. Northwest and Nebraska Lutheran girls will play at 5. That's at Hastings College, followed by the boys game that we previously mentioned. And then the Kearney Catholic Lexington girls play at Holdridge today, and that is at 4 o'clock. Also today, the regular season finale for the Grand Island baseball team. They're hosting Columbus in a doubleheader. So the postseason for spring is already here with tennis and golf to get there here a little bit later on. Conference track this week. District track next week, and of course we'll have districts and state covered for you here on our network of stations. Folks, TNL, proven technology that works, is there for you, and we talk about all the things that TNL is able to do, and they're hydrostatic and they're different in the way that they cover your field, but they're also different with all this copper, and unfortunately people need to go steal copper to make money, and it happens in on your electric pivot systems, bad deal. But with TNL, there is virtually no copper to go with anything, so you don't have to worry about anything being stolen and then being down, and where you need an electrician to come out and rewire your system and all of that. It's just one of the many benefits when you work with TNL, proven technology that works. You can go wireless. There have been many people that says, hey, when the price of copper began rising rapidly, thieves stole the copper wire from all of our 25 electric pivots and later hit one again after the wire had been replaced. And he says, you know, when you farm the kind of acres that we farm, you can't afford to be down that long. One of the reasons that they were sold on TNL. You can find out more information on their website, TLIRR.com, or see your local TNL dealer. Coming up a little bit later on in the show, at the bottom of the hour, we're going to catch up with Michael Schotte from the Bleacher Report, NFL Draft News, and more. Stay with us.
Comforting guidance when you need it most.
Horner, Liske, McBride, and Kuehl.
Dedicated, trusted, and compassionate service.
Horner, Liske, McBride, and Kuehl.
We listen to you.
We are here for you.
And we help ease a difficult time.
Our family serving your family for generations. Please call, stop by, or go online. Horner Liske McBride & Kuehl Funeral and Cremation Services.
Honestly, the first thing I thought was I might be out for a long time if I don't get this checked out, because I heard a pop in my ankle, and so I came here. It's like having a second set of coaches. They want you to get better, just like your coaches want you. They push you. It feels really, really good to get over something. It's kind of like winning a football game. It's something that you love the feeling of it, because you're back to 100%, and then you're back to playing again.
Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center, with locations to serve you across central Nebraska.
Hi, this is Ron Wall with Cargill Ag Horizons Marketing Services, better known as CAMS. As a personal marketing manager, I bring Cargill's global knowledge to your home or office by delivering unique insights that can benefit your operation. When you work with CAMS, you have expert marketers working for you so that you can concentrate on the business of farming. To learn more about how our disciplined approach to risk management can benefit your operation, call me at 402-710-1200. Cargill, helping farmers prosper.
A mix of clouds and sunshine develops today as we climb up to 75 for a high. Winds will also stay in the northeast about 5 to 15. For tonight, with partly cloudy skies, we'll head down to 52 with an east wind of 5 to 15. Right now, it's 59.
Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Doug to Jim Langan with you. Don't forget that the debut of the Hail Varsity Radio program comes your way at 4 o'clock this afternoon with Chris Schmidt and the gang. They will be, of course, coming out of the Hail Varsity headquarters in Lincoln, but they will be bringing you great sporting local and state, even more statewide coverage of the Huskers and a variety of sports. Mike Leach, great football coach, Texas Tech, Washington State. He is among their guests today. Charlie McBride, they always have on Monday as well. So check out our brand new program from 4 until 6. And I guess just to expand on some of the change we'll have, you're going to hear more Colin Cowherd. We have preempted his last hour, and just a little change. You will hear Colin Cowherd's final hour coming up after the Doug and Daddy show, and then we will be on to Scott Van Pelt and Ryan Rosillo, and then into Hail Varsity at 4 o'clock. And that is our tweak to the afternoon lineup here on ESPN Radio. So Hail Varsity, 4 o'clock today. Let's take a look at our Midtown Mart cooler question. Midtown Mart of Hastings, home of the coldest beer and coolest topics. Over the weekend, we asked you, what should the Houston Texans do with the number one overall draft pick? And 38% said trade that pick. 31% said draft Jadeveon Clowney. 23% said draft a quarterback. Well, right now, Houston doesn't have a quarterback. A lot of people believe Jadeveon Clowney is by far the best, although they think he might be a risk, and trade the pick, 38%. I think they would love to trade that pick. Then they wouldn't be handcuffed with Jadeveon Clowney, and then maybe they could get their quarterback a little bit later on down the road. But it may not quite be like Randy Moss, but I think I'd have to take my chances with Jadeveon Clowney here, Jimmy, because I think and we'll ask Michael Schottie here in a little bit, I think a lot of these quarterbacks are just quarterbacks. I mean, I don't see an Aaron Rodgers, a Peyton Manning, a Tom, and Tom Brady. You can't even throw in because he was a sixth-round pick. So I would say draft Jadeveon Clowney. What do you think? If you were the GM of the Houston Texans, what would you do?
Well, here's the thing of it is right now in professional football, if your quarterback is good and successful and keeps you out of trouble, you usually have a pretty good football team. I guess the risk is right now is this position is so important. It is such an important position to win that you have to do something with it. Unlike baseball, hey, the pitcher's critical, but he only pitches every 5 days. The quarterback could be out there possibly all 14 games. And you mentioned somebody. Look at the Green Bay Packers this year when the quarterback went down. I mean, it was unbelievable. I mean, it wasn't like they had their defensive ends out or, hey, their right offensive tackle's out. And those guys are important, too. Don't get me wrong. But right now in the NFL, there is such a difference between if the quarterback can do something to make you win they'll take that risk. And hey, help me out real quick, because Baylor, the quarterback from Baylor that played for the Washington Redskins, name?
Robert Griffin.
Yeah, the year he had, thank you, the year he had when, the you know, the first year out before he got injured, and then look what happened the next year. I mean, so look what he did when he was not hurt. You know, a lot of these players, I just think, so I think if you really want to take a chance and you want to roll the dice, I think you got to go for the quarterback. I think you got to play that. And I think that's what Johnny Manziel can do. I think Johnny Manziel is the only one, and Doug, that's who you voted for the Heisman Trophy. But he's the one guy that can maybe get out of the pocket and go around and make a team like that and do something that exceptional. But all the rest of the quarterbacks I see, I don't think they're one of them. Does it come up to me that I can take that risk with? So if I'm going to roll the dice and I'm a team that's 3-13 or whatever you say, I'm going to go with Johnny Manziel and take a shot with him and see what he can do for me.
Boy. I hope the Dallas Cowboys don't take Johnny Manziel. And a lot of people say he'll be there in four for the Cleveland Browns and on and on. You can vote on our Midtown Mark Cooler question at ESPNSuperstation.com. Our question today, which NBA second-round series are you most looking forward to watching? Indiana-Washington, Miami-Brooklyn, San Antonio-Portland, or Oklahoma City and the Clippers? I think this is an easy runaway vote here. Oklahoma City and the Clippers is who I'm voting for.
That's mine, too.
I just hope we don't have to worry about anything being on NBA TV again. It'll be just nice to see the Miami Heat get back on the court and play again, the only team that seemed to cruise through with a sweep in their first-round series. I think San Antonio and Portland will be pretty good. San Antonio-Houston probably would have been better. But in our NBA selections, I know I went 5-3 because I took all the favorites and was heartbroken by Toronto's loss. But I know I went 5-3. My final is still obviously intact. I have Miami over Oklahoma City. And let's see, Jimmy has his final four all going. I took Chicago to beat Indiana, and you got Indiana going all the way to the finals. So I think Indiana's going to get beat.
The way they're playing, I don't like them right now. You know what I'm saying? If I had to redo it, you know, and I would say you're probably correct.
Well, we'll find out more on the draft here in a couple of moments with Michael Schotte of the Bleacher Report. He'll be chatting with us as well. Again, in the NBA, the playoffs tonight, Washington at Indiana and the Clippers are at Oklahoma City on the ice. Pittsburgh is at the New York Rangers, and it is Los Angeles at Anaheim. We'll take a break, come back, Bleacher Report, NFL Draft. Stay with us.
ESPN Radio Superstation 1460 and 1550 Weather Eye Weather is brought to you by Farm Bureau Insurance agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers on North 2nd Avenue in Kearney.
Health insurance is changing. You have new options, but which one is right for you? As authorized independent agents for Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska, Farm Bureau Financial Service agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers know health insurance and can help you understand your options and the differences between them. Contact Rich Peters and Matt Myers and see how they can simplify the process and help you select the right health insurance policy for you and your family. Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska is an independent licensee of the Blue Cross and Blue Shield Association. Securities and services offered through FBL Marketing Services, LLC, affiliate Farm Bureau Financial Services.
A mix of clouds and sunshine develops today as we climb up to 75 for a high. Winds will also stay in the northeast about 5 to 15. For tonight, with partly cloudy skies, we'll head down to 52 with an east wind of 5 to 15. Right now, it's 59.
Vamos todos con el garrote.
And a happy Cinco de Mayo to everyone out there, the 5th of May. And may I only say, thank God it's the 5th of May, because I was already tired of May the 4th be with you. What in the hell was that all about yesterday? And the Star Wars stuff everywhere. Are you kidding me? May the 4th. So may the fourth be with you. Wow. Get out of grandma's, but get out of mom's basement. Go find a place. Let's go. Wow. 888-455-ESPN, 888-455-3776. Welcome back to the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. And again, I like Star Wars. Okay, so let's get that out of the way. Doug Duda, Jim Langan with you on this Monday program. And we are pleased to welcome for the first time to the Doug and Daddy Show, Michael Shoddy from the Bleacher Report. I've seen him in a variety of different capacities, shows, and websites and things like that. And we are pleased to talk a little NFL draft. Michael, thanks for the time here on the Doug and Daddy Show. How are you?
I'm doing great, and I feel bad for you, because if you didn't like May the 4th Be With You, the Revenge of the 5th isn't going to be much better.
Oh, man. I just opened myself up there to get run over today, but that's a good one. I like it. Good start. You know, let's just start right here in our backyard, Michael, and then we'll kind of get to the big picture, because we've just been talking about quarterbacks and first round, and that seems to be where everybody is. Nebraska University not going to have a first round selection, it would not appear. What can you tell us? We've got Stanley Jean Baptiste and injured Spencer Long, Quincy Enunwa, got some nice players, but any idea when the first Husker might be going off the board? Are we gonna have to wait till Saturday?
It's almost certainly going to be Stanley Jean Baptiste, and there's a really good chance he goes off the board on the second day, which is the second or third round. There is an interesting sort of trend in the NFL right now that he fits into, where bigger cornerbacks or bigger defensive backs in general are being valued. Certainly was something that was going on a couple of years ago, but now, especially after the Seattle Seahawks won a Super Bowl using that Legion of Boom type setup, teams are going that way. We've already heard not only certainly the Jacksonville Jaguars, who are trying their best to copy the Seattle Seahawks defense, but also teams like the Chiefs, teams like the Detroit Lions, teams like the Chicago Bears have gone out and have pretty publicly said that they are looking for bigger cornerbacks. So Stanley Jean Baptiste has a chance there, but the problem, and I don't want this to be sound like too big of a knock on him, but there are smaller cornerbacks out there who play bigger than Jean Baptiste. And again, it's not a knock on him. I'm not saying he's not a good cornerback, but there are times where he doesn't press as much as maybe a smaller cornerback might, or doesn't have that play strength that a smaller cornerback might. So it all depends on what a team is looking for. There are teams out there who out and out will say that they don't want a cornerback under a certain height, and so he fits into that scheme. But if there are teams out there who say that we might take a cornerback who is 6'0", 6'1", because he plays a little bigger, plays a little stronger, supports a little bit better in the run game, that could cause Stanley Jean Baptiste to fall onto that third day.
Other Huskers, I mean, and this kind of a question, I think Spencer Long, you take a look at a kid that gets injured in his senior season, it seems like their draft stock always drops. He and anybody else that you think will be a steal just because they're coming off an injury?
I don't see Long getting drafted. And again, that's less, as you said, it's less of a knock against his play and more of a knock against the fact that he was injured this past season. And when you got a guy like that and you have a guy who was probably a third-day pick anyway, teams are almost positive they're going to get someone, either him or someone like him, someone around his play type in undrafted free agency. So I think he'll probably fall to there. Anuka is a guy who could certainly be drafted towards the latter part of the third day. But really, this is the Cornhuskers are building, and I think they're at a point where moving to the Big Ten, they're already a solid Big Ten team. They're already a team that can compete with the likes of the Big Ten, but they're really going to have to dig into that Big Ten recruiting pool before they start to see those gains in the draft as they used to about a decade ago.
Yeah, Jim Langan here. Hey, the quarterback situation has really changed tremendously from, you know, Johnny Manziel's going to be first, and then all of a sudden they're taking guys ahead of them. And now it's kind of going back to Johnny Manziel might be the first quarterback taken. Your thoughts?
It's anything is possible. And when you talk to different NFL teams, you get, almost as many different answers as there are teams out there. And so I like to talk to teams that probably don't need a quarterback in the top half of the first round, because, of course, they've done their due diligence because they're going to be playing these guys on Sundays anyway. But when you ask some teams out there that don't really have a dog in the fight, as it were, when they don't really have a reason to lie, you tend to hear a lot of teams are very interested in Johnny Manziel but aren't necessarily comfortable with him. Now, when you need a cornerback, that sort of dynamic changes because you can be interested, but you tend not to get as scared. You tend not to get as look at the negatives as much as you say the negatives are something you can change, something you can coach out of him. So I think there's a really good chance if I had to put down money, I'd probably say that Manziel is the first quarterback taken because he's got a solid chance to go to both Houston and Jacksonville. The top quarterback on my board is Teddy Bridgewater, and I know we've heard a lot of stuff negative late about him, but there are still teams I talk to that say he's the top guy on their board. There are still teams I talk to that say they think he can be a solid starter in this league. I've watched just about every snap of his college career, and when I watch that, I say, I see a quarterback who can be a very good player in the NFL. I have my own questions about Manziel. I think he can be great as well. And finally, you've got Blake Bortles. He's actually my least favorite of those top guys, not only because there are things you have to coach out of him and some very big deficiencies in his college offense. I look at him as a slightly better version of Brandon Whedon. And I thought Brandon Whedon was going to be better than he was coming out of college, but when you have a very niche offense that you're coming out of, you basically have to retrain a guy to play on Sundays, and they're going to have to do that. Whoever ends up with Blake Bortles is going to get a physical prospect. It's certainly going to get someone who looks the part. But frankly, when you start looking at Blake Bortles, there's a lot of work to be done there by the coaching staff.
We're talking with Michael Schotte, the Bleacher Report, here on the Doug and Daddy Show on ESPN Radio, NFL Draft. Who you answered which quarterback you like. There are so many after this spot. I heard an interesting discussion on who could be the next Tom Brady, a quarterback that won't get picked till fourth, fifth, sixth round. Who do you think, and sometimes this is hard to tell, but who do you think out of these top five quarterbacks is the most intelligent quarterback?
Intelligence is something that's hard to measure because, we have the measurement. We have the Wonderlic test, and just about everyone out there doesn't believe that the Wonderlic is actually a good example of someone's IQ or someone's ability to play football. When I watch tape, however, when you look at the football IQ, what they need to do on the field, in this class, Teddy Bridgewater is the most, I guess you'd almost have to say Peyton Manning-esque. When he walks up to the line of scrimmage, scans the field, changes the play, shifts his blockers, you know, calls a hot route, he's the only one of those top guys who does stuff like that. You look at guys like Derek Carr and Blake Bortles, and they're basically doing the opposite of that. They have a pre-designed read. They have a pre-designed play. They're looking over to the sideline to make those calls. Then you look at someone like Johnny Manziel, who, when he was at his best, was basically playing schoolyard ball, you know, drawing up plays in the dirt. You go down the step a little bit, and I think the next kind of guy you have to look at, there's been much talk about Jimmy Garoppolo, and I think he fits into that pre-designed play with the other guys, running an air raid offense that actually is very similar and has, you know, similar roots to what Kevin Sumlin is running in Houston with Johnny Manziel. But then Zach Mettenberger, I don't think he gets enough credit. I mean, he plays in literally pro-style offense because his offensive coordinator, Cam Cameron, was an offensive coordinator in the NFL not too long ago, head coach in the NFL not too long ago. So plays in a pro-style offense, has a sort of handle on what pro-style teams want. So if you had to ask me who the smartest guy is, I think Teddy Bridgewater is far and away the top guy in that group, but then you go down that list, and I think Zach Mettenberger could be a distant second.
And, of course, everybody that's not in the SEC tends to hate the SEC, but it seems like A.J. McCarron and Aaron Murray were two pretty darn good quarterbacks, and they're not even in the ballpark. Why? Why is that?
Well, I think one of the things you have to do, especially in the SEC, you have to do it with quarterbacks across the board, but wins are not a stat. I mean, I know it shows up in the box sheet. I know that people want quote-unquote winners. They want guys that have those intangibles. But you can't look at a quarterback in the context of, well, he won a bunch of football games. Because when you're at Alabama, you have a ton of help winning those football games. And when you've got basically three or four games out of a year that are just gimmies because you're Alabama, you can't pad the stat sheet like that and still expect quote-unquote wins to be a good barometer. Aaron Murray's a little on the other side of the scale where Georgia had a couple of really good seasons, but they had them because of Aaron Murray. I mean, he certainly had help, too. I mean, there are a lot of good college players that have come out the past couple of years from Georgia, and so I'm not going to say he didn't have any help. But I think that Aaron Murray did far more for his team than McCarron did. The problem is Murray is less of a physical specimen, first than McCarron, but also both of them are far down the list when you start looking at what NFL teams are looking for out of their quarterbacks. Murray's biggest problem is that he was injured and that he didn't get better over the last couple of seasons. He kind of stayed stagnant, was making the same mistakes, was not getting a stronger arm, as many college players do, because you simply, as you throw the ball more, your arm gets stronger, you learn to get a little more confident in some of those longer throws. And he didn't do that. And so I think you get Aaron Murray, he's still a good prospect in terms of we think he could get a little bit better as he enters the NFL. But with McCarron, you're basically getting what you're getting. And he's a good enough athlete. I think he's a step above where Greg McElroy was. But that's about it. And it wouldn't surprise me to see AJ McCarron either ticketed for a long-term backup role in the NFL or, much like McElroy, end up realizing the NFL is not for him.
Yeah, Jim Lyon here. I think he made a great point about talking about, you know, audible into these hot routes, because he says the game has really changed to me. When I look just like 5 to 10 years ago, the quarterback's role or the offensive role was to get in field goal range just maybe before the 2 minute warning. You know, I mean, and you'd have that last 2 minutes and you're using the clock a little bit and you're getting it down there and you're going to get down there and you're just going to wait and kick that last field goal and win the game. And that was a key to going 10-6 compared to going 6-10 in the NFL. But on the hot routes, I think that's a great point. I just wondered with Johnny Manziel, and I'm really trying to think through this a little bit, that I think the reason I like him, I think he played in games where he had to do a lot to make them win. And I think maybe with Bridgewater and Louisville was the favorite most of the time out on the field. So when you're talking about Alabama being the favorite, so was Louisville. Your thoughts on this?
Yeah, I would agree there. One of the interesting things is that a lot of people have brought up that the schedule as kind of a knock against Teddy Bridgewater, an example of one reason he might fall to the second round. But it's important to remember that Blake Bortles played that exact same schedule. Yeah. So if you're going to use it a knock against Bridgewater, which you can, it's got to be used as a knock against Bortles as well. So if we're going to put that up, when I look at Manziel, okay, let's make the comparison you made. When I look at Manziel, scouts are about split on whether Manziel made Mike Evans or whether Mike Evans made Manziel. And when I look at a quarterback, one of the ways I do it, after I read up my full scouting report and I'm kind of going on my second run through, I look at what a quarterback falls back on. And for some quarterbacks, it's the internal, it's the mind stuff, it's the, you know, the intangibles, the game breaker attitude, the, you know, the stuff Brady and Manning do before and after the snap, in terms of just kind of commanding the game. For other quarterbacks, it's their arm. You've got guys who, a Tony Romo type, who when all else fails, they're going to sling it. Sometimes it's going to be into coverage and it's going to be an interception, but sometimes it's going to be into coverage and be a great completion because it just got past the guy's fingertips. Other guys, it's their legs. You know, we saw this past season, Russell Wilson make a lot of plays with his legs that he didn't have to make in college because when push came to shove, he had to depend on those legs to make those plays to win. With Manziel, I don't think it's his arm and I don't think it's even his legs. I think it's that, what I like to call the YOLO pass, where he just heaves it up, and it's almost Brett Favre-like, and I know there's going to be a guy somewhat open down the field, so I'm just going to heave it up, get it where I can get it to, and hope my wide receiver is going to go up and get it. In terms of chemistry, him and Mike Evans worked perfectly there, and I think it's similar to what, you know, Brett Favre had for years in Donald Driver. It just worked, and I'm not going to say that one made the other. The connection just worked. So I think for Johnny Manziel to do what he did in terms of winning games for his team at the next level, he's going to have to, A, have a team that's good enough that those are completions and not interceptions, because at the NFL level, if you've got a good enough safety and you're trying to pass to, you know, Cecil Shorts, if he gets to Jacksonville, that's going to be an interception. And so he's got to have a good enough team around him where that's a completion, and he also has to have something else added to his game, because it can't be the Brett Favre YOLO pass after YOLO pass, because we remember that Brett Favre, as good as he was, he also has the interception record in the NFL. And if Manziel can't complement his game to the extent that Brett Favre did, where he was only throwing those every couple of passes rather than just about every other pass, Manziel's going to throw interceptions. And if he throws more interceptions than short, choppy passes down the field, which is where the NFL has headed these past couple of years, he could end up having a lot more detractors than supporters early on.
Yeah, well said. And it's amazing to me when you look at the draft. Texas A&M could have three players in the top six picks, I mean, which is wouldn't be absolutely amazing.
And we're talking here for just a couple of minutes more of, with Michael Schotte of the Bleacher Report, the NFL draft, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. There's talk that they may extend this thing to 4 days, but if you read the Bleacher Report and you see, Michael, it appears that you're definitely on board. Houston needs to take Jadeveon Clowney with the first pick.
Yeah, it's really six and one, half a dozen in the other. I wrote basically just my whole scouting report on Jadeveon Clowney today, and I did it more to support the fact that he is the player we all think he is. I know there are certainly, you know, Merrill Hodge from ESPN and Warren Sapp have come out and said that he's not, you know, there's too much risk because he's not a very motivated player. And I just think that when you look at the whole package, the motivation is a question mark. It's certainly part of the storyline, but when you look at everything else as well, you're not talking about motivation that's terrible. You're talking about motivation that's not as good as you want it to be. But everything else is better than you want it to be. And he's still not only the top prospect, but he's still a unique type prospect, a once-in-a-generation type prospect. Maybe not in terms of how good he is, but in terms of the type of player he is. They just don't come around that often. Julius Peppers was kind of the last one, and we're watching Julius Peppers wind down his career as Clowney is coming into the league. So I think you've got a great player there, and if you go just by board, the best player on the board, yeah, he should go to Houston. And quite frankly, I think pairing him with J.J. Watt would be an awfully good pairing. That would be an awfully good front three-tier defense. Or even if you somehow found a way to stack Jadeveon Clowney over J.J. Watt, which I could almost, you know, I couldn't see not happening. How's that for a double negative? You're gonna see that in the NFL if he gets drafted to Houston, and quarterbacks are going to wet themselves because of it, because you don't want to see those two on the field at the same time. You certainly don't want to see them coming from the same side because you don't have a blocking scheme that's going to stop that. So when that if that happens, it's going to be because they took the best player on the board. However, there's also something to be said for the fact that Houston really needs a quarterback, and you're not going to win in this league if you don't have a quarterback. So if you take Jadeveon Clowney, it's because he's the best player, and I truly do think he's the best player in this draft. However, if you end up taking a quarterback, it's because you need a quarterback, and there's nothing wrong with that to take a lesser player at a position you need more, because I think that the space on many people's boards between Jadeveon Clowney and Johnny Manziel is not that far. And if you need a quarterback, you're not going to win without a quarterback. And if Jadeveon Clowney gets you a couple wins next year and you're consistently in the 6 to 8 win range, you're never going to find a quarterback like Johnny Manziel again.
Michael, which team needs this draft the most?
I mean, it's the same team that you can probably say for the last decade. It's the Cleveland Browns. And a short distance behind them is the Oakland Raiders. Now, the Cleveland Browns have a ton of picks. They've got a couple of first-round picks, and I think, is it 5 picks in the first 3 rounds? They've got a bunch, and they need to use them, and they need to use them wisely. It's a new regime there. I'm trying to give them the benefit of the doubt. But if they don't not only find their quarterback, which they haven't had in my lifetime, but they also need to find a host of good young players, because this is the time to turn that team around. And if you don't turn around, we already had the entire regime fired after 1 year last year. If you end up whiffing on a quarterback, they could have maybe a year or two before we've got yet another regime change and just another decade of ineptitude in Cleveland. And Oakland, for that matter, they had a regime change a couple of years ago, and they were given the benefit of the doubt because of Al Davis, because of the nonsense that team had gone through for the past 2 decades. And so they were given a chance to kind of clean up shop before they were starting to be judged. But I think it's time to start looking at Reggie McKenzie and Dennis Allen, saying, you cleared the salary cap space out, you brought in all this veteran talent to kind of restock the shelves. We're big question marks with your first-round draft pick last year. You have to make a good pick this year. You have to strike gold, because if you don't strike gold with another high draft pick, it's just going to take us back to remembering those Al Davis days.
And now my personal question, my Dallas Cowboys and so many Dallas Cowboy fans that we have around here, and of course being in Nebraska, you know, Bears, Chiefs, Broncos, you know, Packers, Cowboys, Vikings, Dolphins even, we got fans of half the teams in the NFL, but it doesn't appear it is that Dallas needs help on defense. Where do you see them going in this draft?
Man, whenever anyone asks me about Dallas, and I wasn't expecting Dallas in this phone call, but it doesn't actually surprise me because it is Dallas. I know what I would do if I were the GM of the Cowboys. And probably one step further than that, I know what they should do. And that's just not my opinion. I, you know, kind of coalescing the opinion of all the draft experts out there and all the people who talk about their needs and the beat reporters who are following this. So I know what those two sort of things are. I don't know what Jerry Jones is going to do. And that's because there is no amount of hard liquor in the world that I can imbibe to get inside his head. And that's not saying he's an alcoholic or by any means, but I have such a different frame of reference. And what I say about Jerry Jones every time I talk about him is when I found out he was hosting a radio show, that was kind of the last straw for me because he's the owner of the team. He's kind of the public face of the team. He pretends he's the coach of the team at some times, and he's also the acting GM, and now he's trying to be media, too. It's just too many hats. And it seems like he is a guy who he really loves what he does, and he's got the money to do what he loves and more power to him because of that. But there was a report last week where, you know, the Cowboys might be looking at a wide receiver in the first round if Odell Beckham Jr. falls or if Mike Evans falls or if Brandon Cook is the player they want. And I just kind of looked at that like, you know, this is just Jerry Jones being Jerry Jones. If they take a wide receiver in the first round, not that they couldn't use one, not that if, you know, they embrace the pass happiness, they embrace the three or four wides, but what it tells me is that this is a fantasy team to Jerry Jones.
Yeah.
And so if you ask me what they're going to do, I just don't know. I mean, they need help on the defensive front. They've doubled down, even though they got rid of or shifted Kiffin around, they've doubled down on the Tampa 2, which I think was a silly sort of thing to do. But they don't have the personnel on the front, especially getting rid of DeMarcus Ware. They need pass rushers. And so if Aaron Donald is available, obviously you take him. If, you know, any of those, whether it's Dee Ford or any of the pass rushers that might be available, you have to try to strike gold there early and often, not just in the first round, but in the second and third round as well. You need guys up front. But it would not surprise me at all to see early on, whether it's first or second round, the Cowboys go with another skill position player that they're either not going to use or don't need, because that's who the Cowboys have been for a very long time.
Well, everybody has their opinion, Michael, on the most overrated and the most underrated guy. I'm sure you do as well. Can you throw those our way?
Yeah, I think right now when I look at underrated, I'll go with a running back, and it's just kind of been a pet project of mine for a long time, Lake Seastrunk from Baylor. It's a guy who moved over from Oregon over to Baylor because of the coaching change, because he had his own little personal issues. But when I look at running backs, I tend to look at balance and explosiveness more than anything. And when I look at guys in this draft, there are things to like about Carlos Hyde. There are things to like about Trey Mason. There are certainly things to like about Bishop Sankey and Jeremy Hill from LSU. But Lake Seastrunk is the one guy who I look at him and I say, this could be not only a starting running back in the league, but this is a guy who, if he's given a chance early, given a chance to be the guy, I think he could take a hold of it, even if he ends up being like a fourth or fifth round draft pick. He's got that kind of natural running ability. So I think he's being underrated just because he's kind of gotten lost in the running back shuffle. Also, Marquise Lee, as of late, I mean, this is a guy that we thought could be the first overall pick in the draft this year, a couple of years ago. But he's kind of fallen out of favor, and I think he's got a chance to show that he wasn't the problem at USC. That the way that USC was forced to use him because of their quarterback situation is probably not the best way that he could have been used. And if he gets to an NFL team, especially if he falls to a team like Philadelphia or New England, he could end up being Rookie of the Year. As for overrated, I'll throw Blake Bortles out there. There are people who believe he could go top five. I just don't think he's got that kind of talent. Taylor Lewan. I'm even from Michigan, and I bleed maize and blue, but Taylor Lewan is probably not as polished of a player as guys like Mel Kiper are thinking he might be. So if he ends up going top 10 or even top 15, I think that could be a mistake because he's got the upside. He's got the potential. But when you've been blocked for Devin Gardner for the past couple of years, you're not ready for the NFL. Those are the two guys that I would probably highlight right there, especially because they're being projected to go so high in the draft.
All right, Michael. Hey, it was great having you on the Doug and Daddy Show. Some great insight. And, of course, we'll all be sitting back and watching who our favorite teams get this weekend. So keep up the great work.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Thanks, man. Michael Schotte, Bleacher Report. Go to BleacherReport.com and check out the articles on your team or the draft as a whole. And, heck, Jimmy, I just think we sat right here and we have all kinds of different – it always comes down to this quarterback issue. As you said, the draft has changed. Running backs, there's not even one projected in the first round. A lot of people believe Carlos Hyde will be the first one to go. That used to be the key position. Get your lineman, get your running back, and then, you know, make sure you got a good quarterback, but not – you know, not Peyton and not, you know, Aaron Rodgers and Brett Favre. I mean, you look at these guys, very few – that's another thing. I mean, very few top five quarterbacks have ever really panned out, percentage-wise, have panned out.
You know what's kind of amazing is in the NFL, there is the field goal kickers have gotten so good. And it's so tremendous from 1960 to, you know, to 2014. They are so good. We didn't even talk about them. They, like, because all the other position players are doing all this work. But when you get right down to an NFL game, Doug, how many times do you sit there and you're going, hey, you know what? We've just played 60 minutes of football, and it's getting down to one play. And this field goal kicker is going to go in there and decide it. It's a 52-yard field goal. And he hits it right down the middle.
Yeah.
And then everybody goes, hey, you know, what a drive by the quarterback. He let him downfield. Or Obata with the offensive line. Hey, we don't draft these guys anymore. I'll tell you what, you know, this kind of amazes me because you talk about, like, at that moment, this guy seems to be a pretty important guy.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? And you know what they do with him, though? They immediately, if he makes the field goal, he's great. We're happy. We pat him on the back. And if he misses next week, we fire him and get another guy.
Yeah,
and that guy was working in a bar the week before. He's a pretty good kicker, though. You know, so it's amazing. It absolutely amazes me.
You can see the results of the kicker and then quarterback probably quicker than anybody else.
Exactly.
Hey, let's go to the Dent Popper inbox. John chimes in. Isn't it a rule of thumb to have a quarterback that manages the game and doesn't turn it over all the time? They don't have to win the games, but just don't lose them with bad play. Johnny Football is that guy to turn it over in a league that is way faster than the SEC. John, yeah. Not on board. And I know he's a Raider fan, and there's a chance, God. I mean, I could ask. I wanted to ask Michael that one, too. There are just some teams that you get selected and you go, oh, God. You know, because they're automatically in a bad situation. Oakland, I think, for some of these skill positions is one of those teams.
Well, look at the Kansas City Chiefs this year. You need somebody to manage the game, do some things, let your defense take over.
Let Jamal Charles run.
Yeah, keep the team out of trouble. But there's other teams. You've got to do some things, and you got to make some plays. And I thought the Detroit Lions quarterback this year hurt him a little bit. There were some times where he tried to do too much. But if they were going to get to that next level, and maybe make a run for the Super Bowl, he had to do some things. Now, if you want to just go 9-7, 10-6, you can manage the game like that. But he needed to take that risk to maybe to get him to 12-4, 13-3. Yeah. So it kind of depends on what kind of team you have. Johnny Manziel, I guarantee you, that guy that called in or made his comment or texted or whatever he did, he's definitely right about one thing. But if he's playing on a team that last year was 2-14, I don't want him managing the game. Well, I want him taking some risk.
And I that's just kind of talking about my point is Manziel or Bortles, if they're not – great, and you put them on a bad team, they're already kind of in that no chance. I mean, they want them to start right away, and they get thumped up, and I want to see them go to a team where they've got a chance. They don't have to be the starter next year. And Houston, I think, I still have never figured out what happened to Matt Schaub, you know, why he you know, fell apart the way he did because they had a running game and they had wide receivers. You know, just what happened there? Was it Lyon? Was it him? I think they can get any of these, what we will call second-tier quarterbacks, and be just fine. And so I hope they do take Clowney. We're going to take a break here on the Doug and Daddy Show. When we come back, the GPAC has their all-conference baseball team. They've announced that. We've got a few other sports headlines to look at as well.
All sports, one source, two stations, KICS Hastings, KXPN Kearney, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
People from all around.
around are talking about how the new Refirm Now is changing their lives forever.
I lost 79 pounds. My energy has increased and I'm even more toned.
I believe this is the perfect product to give you the energy and motivation to lose weight. I actually cut my body fat in half.
Refirm Now is the biggest weight loss breakthrough in years. Helps with stress, more energy, fat burning, your appetite, and the best body toning ingredients.
I have never felt better. Just take the step and get to complete nutrition.
So if you want the strongest fat burner to hit the market since ephedrine, you need Refirm Now. Found only at Complete Nutrition. If you lose more than 10 pounds in 10 days, please contact your Complete Nutrition consultant.
Find Complete Nutrition in Grand Island just north of Gordman's off Highway 281 and in Kearney just north of Sun Mart on 2nd Avenue.
Look, feel, perform better. Complete Nutrition.
Come on in, let the games begin.
Hi, this is Jeremy from HK Sports Bar and Grill. Or you can call it Hastings Kino, you can call it plain Kino. My point is this, we aren't just your daddy's Kino parlor anymore. We're a new restaurant. I mean, the building's in the same place, but it's a new restaurant. The faces are different, the menu is different, atmosphere is different, everything's different. It is a new restaurant. If you haven't been here lately, you haven't been here.
Come on in, let the games begin.
Doug and Daddy's show. Don't forget that the 5th annual Loper Football Backers fundraising banquet is tomorrow night at the Eunice Conference Center. We're actually going to go out and do the show there tomorrow from the Eunice Conference Center as they put the finishing touches on the setup. We can talk about some of the things that are going on there and our normal daily Tuesday program with Troutman's Tuesday Trivia and more to talk about there. We are here in the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth, Midway Chevrolet Buick Cadillac, Midway Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, taking care of you in the month of May with their everyday low hassle-free prices and over 500 different vehicles on the lot, new, pre-owned, and exactly what you are looking for. And if it's not exactly what you're looking for, they will find you exactly what you're looking for. Maybe you see the car like you want. It's orange. You want it to be black. Maybe it's a two-door. You want it to be a four-door. Maybe it's a four-cylinder. You want it to be a six-cylinder. They will find that, and they will contact you as soon as they do to make sure you are happy with what you're driving. And that's what it's all about, isn't it? Midway Chevrolet Buick Cadillac, Midway Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, South 2nd Avenue in Kearney. Or you can view their entire inventory. Check out the latest, the deals that are going on at thinkmidway.com. The GPAC All-Conference Baseball team has been released, and the Player of the Year, Mitch Pishon of Northwestern. The Pitcher of the Year, Elliot Engel of Doan. Jeremy Jorgensen of Doan is the Coach of the Year. Duh, they went undefeated. Of course, then they went 0-2 in the tournament, which was weird. For Hastings College, Trent Neal is the second-team all-conference selection. The senior out of Ogallala led him in hitting. And honorable mention for Hastings, Jake Steese, Christian Schneider, A.J. Fruchtel, Drew Clark, and Eric Antia. Congratulations to those young men being selected. And then, you ever heard of this Derek Blumenstock? You know him, Jeff? Says he's from O'Neill. He's a second-teamer from Mount Marty. And also, Bolas' Austin Kasperson of Doan is part of the Gold Glove team. Doan had four players on the Gold Glove team as well. The pitcher from Doan, Austin Kasperson. So congratulations to those GPAC athletes from either Hastings College or our listening area. A couple of other sports notes. Nebraska baseball, they swept Penn State. They did what they needed to do, Jimmy. And Taylor Fish tweaks his hamstring on Saturday, didn't start Sunday. They hope maybe he can go next week at Michigan State. They don't have any midweek games this week.
Yeah, you know, like you said, that was a big, you know, like you said, Nebraska needed to get by and get that sweep in, and that was a huge for them. And, yeah, you know, it'd be interesting, like you say, with Taylor Fish, it would be nice if we could get him healthy, no doubt about it. Need him with his clutch hitting.
Yeah, he's getting his chance to play. And, of course, Illinois also swept this week. But Nebraska and Illinois remain second behind Indiana. Indiana 16-2, Nebraska and Illinois 13-5, and Michigan in the four-hole at 11-10. Penn State, Purdue, and Northwestern are the three teams on the outside looking in. Now they're all a couple of games back of Ohio State trying to get to the Big Ten tournament, which is later this month at TD Ameritrade. Nebraska softball, they beat Indiana, and then Michigan
Michigan lost in extra innings to Wisconsin, so that gave Nebraska a share of the Big Ten title. It's the Huskers' first Big Ten title and their first conference championship since 2004. They didn't win the conference last year, even though they went to the College World Series. And they will play in the Big Ten tournament hosted by Northwestern Friday. Their quarterfinal game will be against either Ohio State or Penn State. And then Minnesota is on their side. Michigan and Wisconsin also receive first-round byes. So that's what's going on in the softball department. And the UNK men's tennis team playing in the Central Regional this afternoon against Southwest Baptist. The women were defeated by Northeastern State over the weekend. We were and still are awaiting. There is a Big Ten and Big East news conference going on right now in New York City. This is going to be another one. It's going to be called the Gavitt Tip-Off Games. So the Big Ten and ACC Challenge. Now you got the Big Ten and Big East, and these will be games that are played during the first week of the regular season. But if I read this right, not every team is going to play in this every year. So
Interesting. So it'll be just like five teams. They'll take half of them and just have five games. And will they play them at home sites, or will this be at Madison Square Garden, or do you know anything about it?
Well, they're going through that right now. It's supposedly going to be a series of eight games between the two conferences. So there's 10 in the Big East, and there's obviously 14 now in the Big Ten. So it is what it is.
They're going to take about two-thirds of the teams in and have them play, it looks like. Yeah, and then they'll probably have home sites then, won't they? It'll be just a home game and be a one-time game, right?
Well, Dana O'Neill of ESPN says two games will be played on the first Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. So that gives you your eight of the regular season. They'll be played at the home sites of the school. Four of them will be at a Big East school. Four of them will be at Big Ten. Each Big East team will play a minimum of six times during the length of this eight-year deal, and each Big Ten program will participate at least four times. Fox Sports 1 will televise the Big East home games because that's where they're at, and either ESPN or the Big Ten Network will carry the Big Ten home contest. And there's already Creighton plays Nebraska every year and Marquette plays Wisconsin every year. Those will not be included or will not count as part of this whole deal.
Yeah, this is a good idea. This is we talked on the show about making sure your regular season takes some chances with some games. So I like the idea. It's interesting, though, we talk about in the NCAA tournament in March. You know, do these games in November matter? They do. matter. Yeah. And so it's kind of an interesting scenario that'll be good. And give us some – Nebraska gets to be a home team twice, you know, in a four-year period. So –
You think they'll choose Nebraska right now since they're kind of hot?
That'd be interesting to see. Nebraska's I'm going to say no. This is just a guess. I'm going to say no. But I think that they'll give Nebraska a good game. And they probably won't pick Creighton. You know what I mean?
No.
So, I mean, yeah. So, yeah.
Yeah, I would be more surprised, of course, if they – I mean, only two Big East teams will be left off and six Big Ten teams will be left off.
Okay.
Who would you like to see? If Nebraska could play anybody from the Big East, there's nine choices if it's not Creighton. Butler, DePaul, Georgetown, Marquette, Providence, St. John's, Seton Hall, Villanova, Xavier. Who would you like?
Either Xavier or Georgetown.
I'm a fan of Georgetown, so I'd like to see it be Georgetown. Of course, in Lincoln.
Yeah,
Georgetown.
Yeah, in Lincoln, yeah.
If it was on the road, it'd be cool for Nebraska to get a chance to play in Madison Square Garden or go to New York, you know, play a St. John's or somebody like that. So we'll see here momentarily what the official word is on that. Nebraska danger all the way out to Washington, and they put some points on the board. They gave up some, 66-62 over the Tri-Cities Fever. They're now 7-2. Quarterback Jameel Sewell looks like he's back in form. He threw four touchdowns and ran for three more. We mentioned at the top of the show that the Indiana Ice will not be part of the United States Hockey League this season. They're having trouble securing a rink. One is something that they share with the Indiana Pacers, and the other is apparently no longer suitable to be hosting USHL hockey. And so they are out. Remember, this is a team that won the Clark Cup Championship in 2009, so not that long ago. And, you know, basically that's a – to me, that's a press release that tells you here in a few months you're going to get another press release that there is no Indiana Ice anymore.
Yeah, that's probably what you're going
to
have.
There are two new teams coming into the league this week. The USHL Phase 1 draft begins today at 5 o'clock, and then the second portion of the draft is tomorrow. Starts at 8 a.m., and the Storm have the third overall pick in the first round of the draft today. Also, the Cornhusker Cup goes to Nathan Arnold of Omaha Creighton Prep. There's always these local, what I'll call country kids, that seem to do very well in the trap shoot, but it seems like the big city kids have taken the Cornhusker Cup here a little bit lately, which just seems weird, doesn't it, that somebody from Omaha would be winning this?
Yeah.
I mean, just when you say it, it seems
weird. I guess so. Yeah, when you look at it, you'd think that it'd be some kid that went out there and just went out his backyard and started shooting. You know what I mean? So, yeah, I guess if you're looking at it that way.
So Nathan Arnold of Creighton Prep wins it. Lumiere Drahota of Mount Michael second, and Braden Snell of Gibbon finished in third to take home third place there. Omaha Creighton Prep won the team title. For the girls, Caitlin Marley of Beatrice, number one. Sadie Mitchell, Carpen Crow out of Ord, number two. Carpen Crow also won the 4-H division. And I don't believe Carpen Crow won the boys there, and I'm trying to see if we had anybody else. Tegan Pisota picks up a win, but that seems to be about it from the area. We went over soccer. We went over baseball. Anything else?
What do you think of the Derby?
I'm so happy that people listened to our radio show, and it made them money. That's what I'm happy about. I noticed who was at the back of the pack. Sometimes, and we were at Fauner, sometimes it's hard to see who's where in the race because the silks are different and all that. California Chrome, if he was 5-2 in the Kentucky Derby, what's he going to be, 3-5 for the Preakness?
Yeah, and it'll be interesting to see if the filly runs. You know, the filly that won the race before the Oaks,
Untappable,
decides to run in the Preakness because I have a little opinion about this and a strong one about this. California Chrome is by far the best three-year-old right now. The time of the race was 2:03 and 4/5 seconds, which is 19 lengths behind Secretariat and 15 lengths behind Sham, who ran second to Secretariat. We've got a real bad group of three-year-olds right now, people, is what we got. And this course could win the Triple Crown. And if California Chrome does, watch the racing times and see what it is. And I know that Churchill Downs, right now, they're not running fast times. And I think that has something to do with maybe what. But that was not a fast time. And go back and look at it and see how slow that really was compared to other horses that have won the Kentucky Derby. Because that is, to me, that is a really something that people need to understand about how good some of these other horses were that won that thing compared to this horse. Because don't compare California Chrome to Secretariat.
No way. And like I think it was Frank Miramonte said on the show, the next Triple Crown winner, I want it to be an awesome horse, not a so-called good to great horse. I want it to, and they're not sure that California Chrome is that. I felt like you, though, when the horses turned for home, and we'll have to rewatch the race here, but I had the Chitu, the number 13, as kind of my long shot instead of, you know, putting 17 in there and being right. But he was there. He was second the whole way around. And even when California Chrome passed, he still stayed on second but couldn't get on the rail. And like you see in those horse races, when you realize that you're not going to finish in the top two, you kind of run it out, so to speak. And I actually had some of my horses in the lead coming down the stretch, as you did as well. And then here comes Commander Curve.
Yeah, and, you know, I had a couple tickets with him, but I didn't use the four horse with that group. So, yep, there we go.
I had Candy Boy with him, kind of our long shot dealio. But anyway, it was fun. The pros will be back on the show because if they're making the picks that's making you money, we're going to have them on the show. There's no doubt about it. And, if you did win because of the Doug and Daddy show, Gino would take a thanks from you, from the TVG network, give him a high five or send him a little love as well, or an email that we'll pass along to him. We do want to thank Tammy Anderson, Kearney Girls soccer coach. They host the districts beginning today at 5 o'clock at Baldwin Park. Also want to thank, from the Bleacher Report, Michael Schotte, for joining us on the program today. Tomorrow, Damon Day is scheduled to be with us as our co-host. We'll be out at the Football Backers fundraiser for UNK, and we'll talk more about that. Some special guests. And Jimmy, see you on Friday. Have a good week.
Yeah, you too, Doug.
And we'll see everybody else tomorrow on the Doug and Daddy Show here on ESPN Radio. Hey, Floyd Mayweather, winner of the boxing match this weekend. Great to see him stay undefeated. We'll see you tomorrow.
You've been listening to a Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.
Game over.